Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of April 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. The folks at the Andersons facility near Logansport, Indiana, that's the Clymers Ethanol Plant, should join us to take up the cash grain market. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. A whole lot about wheat today, suffering out in the western United States. The hard red winter wheat under some duress there. The hard red winter wheat that would be coming along out of dormancy in Ukraine and Russia was supposed to be under some stress as well, but maybe not so much. And, well, in the southeast in the Delta region, farmers are not moving at this point, although they'd like to be putting corn in the ground. We'll take that all up with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And we'll take a quick look at the price of farmland in Iowa. Dave Dickey will have more on that during the agricultural news on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking the numbers as they finished up at the CME Group in Chicago. Corn down, or rather up 5.5 cents in the nearby May at $3.81¾. July at $3.90, up 5¾. And September at $3.97¾, up 5¾ today. December corn, $4.06¾, 6 cents higher. The March at $4.16¼, up 6¼ cents. May futures in the bean pit at $9.89¾, up 16½. July at $9.99½, that's up 16¾. And August soybeans, $9.94, up 16¾. September, $9.80½, up 16¼. And November beans at $9.72¾, 17½ cents higher for the day. Bean meal at $3.31.90, up $5.10, bean oil at $30.69, 30 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the nearby April at $161.82½, up 50 cents. The June contract was down a nickel at $152.27½. Feeder cattle finished the lead option April at $219.10, 97½ cents higher. May at $217.10, up 20 for the day. And lean hogs on the day in the April contract at $62.80, up 37½ cents. More in just a moment.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Chicago wheat today finished up 16¾ cents at $5.28½ in the May contract. The July, the harvest month for the soft red, at $5.29½ was 15½ cents higher. Hard red Kansas City wheat also traded in Chicago in the May at $5.72, up 12¾. July at $5.75¾, it finished 12 cents higher. And the outside markets at this time: crude oil futures in the May contract $49.78, up $2.18 a barrel for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.74¼, 3¾ cents higher. Gasoline on the RBOB at $1.82¼, up 5¾ cents. Natural gas at $2.60¼ was down 3¾ cents. Ethanol futures finished the day in the lead option April at $1.55½. That was 6¼ cents higher on its settlement price. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now down about 107 points. Gold futures are up around $22.25, and the dollar is down 0.191, that at 98.47. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies, a high of 74. Beautiful outside on a south wind at 18 miles an hour. It will gust 25, drying things out quite nicely. And then things will get wetter tonight. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low of 53. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms, a high of 67. Chance of rainfall in the area set at 80%. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon, the first day of April 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. First, thanks so much for making the trip to Springfield, the Sherman Farm Credit Illinois building last night. It was a really great meeting. I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Oh, I did. I mean, that was an outstanding meeting. It was kind of surprising how quiet the crowd was. They just weren't in the asking a ton of questions mood. I don't know if we maybe gave them a lot of answers to the questions they were looking for, or if it's just that, you know, it's such a tough time to try and figure out where you want to be in this particular marketplace.
Yeah, they probably all just wanted to be in the field more than anything else and waiting for that to happen. Speaking of which, how much of a problem do you suppose that is at this point, and does it really make very much difference to the marketplace?
Well, I think that, you know, it's certainly underpinning the marketplace, especially when we saw the action in the corn market today. You know, corn still has a rather burdensome stock after the report that came out yesterday, and yet we bounced back off of the 18-cent loss, up a 4-5 for the day. And I think that's primarily looking at weather. Looking at the extended forecast, it does look like we have more normal temperatures coming into the Midwest and more normal rain. And so, you know, we'll see once how that goes. But everybody's focused on the salt. You know, they continue to be slow. There are certainly issues, spotty issues here within the Midwest. We know, you know, the Ohio River Valley has some tough situations. But typical for this time of year is the way I look at it. You know, we talk and talk and talk about the weather, but you can never, ever underestimate our farmers' ability to be able to plant in a very quick way.
On that note, what was your take on yesterday's USDA acreage figures for both corn and soybeans?
Well, you know, there's a couple of interesting things that seldom you hear talked about. You know, they have deviations on those reports. On corn, it was a 3.3, and on beans, it was a 3.6. So what does that really mean in terms of acreage? Well, you know, they came out at an average of 89.2, but the actual range is 86 and a quarter up to 92 and 92.1 on corn. And on beans, it's, 84.6 was the average, but we could be as low as 81.5 and as high as 87.6. And so what it says to me is weather dictates everything. And there's a lot of talk out in the trade today thinking that the acreage is understated. And I have to admit myself that when I looked at the totals of 173.8, that does sound low. I mean, 174.5 is pretty normal. Now, can we say that an extra 700,000 acres perhaps went into milo compared to going into corn perhaps, or that type of thing? None of us will really know, but I think the expectation will be that we probably will see these acreage numbers bump up maybe another 500,000 to 1 million later on.
When you delved into the grain stocks numbers from yesterday, did you find anything of interest, especially as it relates to on-farm and off-farm numbers for storage?
There, no question about that, Todd. In fact, that's absolutely the first place I went to when the report actually hit the deck. And I wanted to see how much grain farmers were actually holding this year in contrast to last year. And it's a pretty sobering story. I expected corn to be higher. They came in at 56.5% this year versus 55 last year. So a percent and a half higher there. But the shocking one was beans at 45.7% in farmers' hands versus 38.4 last year. And wheat 24.8 versus 22.4. So basically, you know, about the, in general, there's about 13% more grain sitting in farmers' hands this year than there was last year. Why is that concerning? Well, we know at some point in time it's going to have to come to town. There's no question. Even though I did have somebody come up to me after the meeting last night, Todd, and tell me that they still have 3 years worth of grain that they're sitting on.
They wanted to top the 2 years out of Litchfield, didn't they?
But they're certainly the exception, not the norm. And so, I think that we all know at some point in time this grain will come to market. And could it be that we do see that happen, you know, as we get into the end of July or into the August timeframe? The trade will be expecting it. the trade will be trading it early on, and so we'll have to find out then. But at this point in time, unless we have some pretty significant weather issues, I think we have to believe that any bounce up that we get in this market is an opportunity to be able to protect something. And I know you have guys who say, well, I'm not going to protect at these prices. These prices are a loss. And yet, if it would turn out that we did have another good year, and I guess we always have to plan on that as risk managers, the loss could be even greater. So I think that that's where options really play into the picture as a very valuable tool, instead of having to go into the cash market.
You know, I've listened to Dave Dickey's newscast for the day already, and he talks a little bit in it about the price of land in Iowa. It may be one of the reasons that producers there in Sherman, Illinois, last night were pretty quiet, because it's clear that things are beginning to move back down from where they were. Have you been watching farmland values?
Oh, yeah, and definitely the Iowa. You know, there was a big report out that came out of the Iowa Realtors Association, and basically, you know, let's just say it wouldn't make a landowner very happy. They said in the last 6 months we've gone down 7.6%, and basically are back to where we were in 2012. And that was in nine major crop regions in Iowa. And so I don't think anybody was happy. They say that it's of course being caused by a 30-40% drop in crop prices in the last 18 months. It makes sense, but it was a bigger number, I believe, than most people were thinking about. And there's no question that we have to be thinking about that, because basically when you look at land values are what we use for collateral a lot of times. And any time that they're shrinking, it makes it a tougher situation.
Let's see, what else can we take up at this point? I suppose we could look to the other parts of the world, talk about the export of soybeans to China. That's been on a really rapid pace. And I think I saw, maybe you did too, that the Chinese were planning on maybe upping the official estimate of what they'll import in terms of soybeans this year. But they already take a lot of U.S. beans.
They do. Last year, in fact, they took one out of every four bushels that was produced here in the U.S. And the rumor is certainly out there about them upping it, which is in some respects on the other side kind of a surprise, because manufacturing data is expected to be quite weak. That's going to be coming out this weekend. And we're going to probably look for more quantitative easing coming out of both China and Japan. There's just so much. I think that's one of the things we talked about a lot last night, is there's so many different things that affect the price that our farmers receive, you know, for what they work so hard for. And we're coming to a point in time here as a world market, and with all the world competitors that we have, and the appreciation we've seen in the dollar, although it's down a little bit today, it's still above the 62% retracement of just this March run that we've had, from the high of 100.785 down to a low of 94.765. If we close it above the 62% retracement again today, I would have to think that 99.5 is probably in the game. And, you know, ultimately, the dollar will play into the marketplace. It's just that there's just so many balls that the producers have to have in the air, you know, that affect their price, that it's pretty hard to, I think it's hard to take it all in sometimes and not feel like, well, this isn't really fair. But, you know, when prices are going higher, we think it's fair. So, you know, it's tough road to hoe.
Hey, thank you for guiding us through part of the process today. I do really appreciate it. Look with great anticipation to talking with you again next Wednesday.
You betcha. Thanks a lot, Todd, and happy Easter to everybody.
Thank you so much. Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's Ag News.
Iowa farmland values have tumbled about 15%. And are likely to continue dropping given weakness in corn and soybean prices. Hertz Real Estate Services says in a new survey today that farmland values could shrink 5-20% more over the next 3 years, depending on the direction of commodity prices. Last year, values of Iowa farmland fell 4.6% to an average of $8,286 an acre. Monsanto reported lower than expected earnings as slumping corn prices pushed farmers toward other crops, crimping sales of the company's best-selling biotech corn seeds. The St. Louis company reported a second quarter profit of $1.42 billion, or $2.92 per share, down from $1.67 billion, or $3.15 per share a year ago. Sales slid to $5.2 billion from $5.8 billion. Monsanto's total seed and seed license revenue declined to $4.18 billion from $4.65 billion, mainly due to lower sales of the company's biotech corn seeds, which fell 15% to $2.9 billion. Farmers and ranchers have until May 15th to apply for federal conservation easement funds through the Agricultural Conservation Easement Program. USDA announced that it would provide about $332 million in financing and technical assistance to expand conservation efforts through ACEP. A key change in the program is that it will protect high-quality grasslands that are under threat of conservation to cropping, urban development, and other non-grazing uses. The World Bank today says that Russia's economic contraction will be worse than previously thought. The World Bank forecasts the Russian economy will contract by 3.8% in 2015 based on an average oil price of $53 a barrel, compared with its earlier forecast of a 0.7% contraction made in December. And that is a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Now up next, you know, there's been an unrelenting set of heat over the past few days across the West, with temperatures above 100 degrees. In parts of the desert Southwest topped out at around 102 degrees, that in Death Valley, California. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey explains how this heat is affecting those regions.
Premature snowmelt in many areas of the West. And that's not something that this region can afford, given the fact that anemic snowpacks built up this winter in the Pacific Coast states, including California, the Great Basin, and the Southwest. The heat is backing down just a little bit. It's actually spreading toward the Great Plains and eventually will briefly settle across the South before starting to reload across the West later this week.
As weak as the wet season was, Rippey says it's pretty much over for California and the Southwest. So what does the rest of the week look like for the rest of the country?
We expect a fairly significant storm to develop later this week across the south central United States. That will bring another round of fieldwork delaying moisture to places like the Mid-South and the Ohio Valley. Rainfall totals in this region could be anywhere from 1 to 3 inches. Eventually, that moisture will reach into the northeast. And there could be a few severe thunderstorms with this weather later this week as the storm system pulls eastward. A few severe thunderstorms, possible isolated tornadoes in parts of the Great Plains, the Midwest, and the Mid-South as the week winds down.
The recent dry weather across the south and into the Ohio Valley has allowed some field work to begin, according to Rippey. But most crops from southern and eastern Texas through Mississippi and the Delta region have experienced significant planting delays.
Looking at some of the corn planting numbers, we did see some good advance in Louisiana. Planting during the week ending March 29th advanced from 1 to 16% of the crop, but that's far behind last year's 67% and even further behind the five-year average of 81%. We're seeing also very significant delays elsewhere in the Deep South. Texas planting 20% complete, five-year average there 43%. And in the Delta, Mississippi corn planting just underway in the last few days, now 4% complete, compared to the five-year average of 39%.
In the next few weeks, Rippey expects some of those delays will reach into the lower Midwest, but he says it's a different story in the upper Midwest.
It's way too early to be talking about planting there, but soils are much drier as you move into the northwestern half of the Corn Belt. So we could well see the dichotomy across the Midwest this spring, where we have some delayed planting across the southern and eastern parts of the belt.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says there could be rapid planting in the upper Midwest unless weather patterns change. In the next few weeks, we'll take a closer look at the details of those weather patterns in just a few minutes when we talk with meteorologist Drew Lerner right here on Illinois Public Media. Closing market report comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. If you'd like to find our information online, you can do that easily at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, including Commodity Week, not long after it airs on our radio stations. And in the case of Commodity Week, prior to the time it airs on our radio stations, it's all at willag.org. That's willag.org. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market on this Wednesday afternoon. Tara Denise is on the phone line, and she is at the Anderson's facility, the Climbers Ethanol Plant near Logansport, Indiana. Thanks so much, Tara, for being with us. It's a beautiful day today. Farmers probably wanting to scratch the earth, maybe even trying some. And I suspect they called you again today because the market was higher.
Yes, we have had a lot of interest. Obviously, with the weather getting better as well, that means grain movement is continuing to pick up pace. Now that we've had a lot of issues with county roads and those things, folks are still interested in getting some stuff moved before they get busy in the field. So a lot of activity today, again, kind of trying to interpret the numbers from yesterday's report.
When we talked with you folks last week, you were two over the marketplace. How about this week?
That is still accurate. We did have a very good week as far as purchases this past week with, you know, really some of that pre-report rally that we saw. We got to $4 cash for, a little bit there, which also enticed a lot of selling.
When you talk to folks at the Anderson's plants that are spread all across the Midwest, is anybody moving in particular a little bit worried about what's happening in the Ohio Valley?
You know, we certainly have, facilities across the Midwest, so we do get kind of a good pulse on a lot of different areas. And just in talking with folks, more typically in the South area, some of the Middle Tennessee into Arkansas, Mississippi a little bit, we're starting to hear some activity there, some spotty stuff where there's been a little bit of precipitation that slowed some things down. But really that Arkansas area has been going, pretty nonstop since last week, starting to see a little bit of activity more so in Mississippi and, starting to pick up in Tennessee. But most of the areas are still, about a couple of days out from real heavy planting activity and really a little bit behind at this point.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn at Delphi is $3.80. At Climbers, it's $3.84. And cash beans at Delphi are $9.93.
Thanks so much, Tara.
Thank you.
Tara Dinas is with the Anderson. She's there at their Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana. Joins us on the closing market report for Wednesday afternoon. It is the very first day of April. When we come back, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's April Fool's Day. Among the great pranks, in 1957, the BBC TV show Panorama showed the Swiss harvesting spaghetti from trees. Evidently, the dreaded spaghetti weevil had been eradicated, making for a bountiful harvest. And in 1998, Burger King ran an ad in USA Today introducing the left-handed Whopper, the condiment stripped out only on the right side. Customers requested not only the new left-handed burgers, but also the old right-handed model as well. On this day in agricultural history in 1582, France adopted the new Gregorian calendar. Prior to that, the New Year was celebrated in France on April 1st. In 1875, Sir Francis Galton published the first newspaper weather map in the Times, London, England. In 1893, the first dishwashing machine became an award-winning success at the Columbian Exposition. The model was originally patented by Josephine Cochran, whose company eventually evolved into KitchenAid. In 1911, Seaman Ashiel Knapp died, an American agriculturalist. He began the system which evolved into the U.S. Cooperative Extension Service. He introduced improved methods of farming into Louisiana, spurred the development of rice culture in the Southwest, demonstrated methods for curbing the boll weevil in Texas, and inaugurated a federal program of farm demonstrations throughout the South. And in 1960, Tyros-1, the first weather observation satellite, was launched from Cape Kennedy. It sent the first television pictures back from outer space. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner joins us now to take a look at the weather forecast. Let's start in the hard red winter wheat growing regions of this nation, Drew. They've had a difficult time with that crop, and I'm not sure that it's getting very much better at this point.
Yeah, it's really not. There was an interesting little storm that occurred around the Oklahoma City area last night, actually, and it produced quite a bit of rain over several counties. A couple of locations got certainly more than an inch of rain. That was welcome, but it was a very small part of hard red winter wheat country. The rest of the area continues to deal with frequent, well above average temperatures. We got up into the 70s and 80s yesterday. We'll be back there again today, and tomorrow we'll probably be in the 80s and lower 90s in the southern plains before it finally cools down for two or three days, back into the heat again next week. As far as rain is concerned, I think we have to wait at least a full week before we get a good, decent opportunity for rain in the area, and I wouldn't put high odds on it for a while. So they're going to continue to limp along as we go forward through the middle part of this month.
On the subject of rainfall and limping along, in the Delta and Southeast, they have the opposite problem.
That's exactly right. Rain has been occurring frequently across some of those areas. It was interesting. I went back and looked at the statistics for the month of March, and it was interesting to see that most of the southeastern United States has actually seen less than normal precipitation during that month, but it was the coolness that was the problem. You couldn't evaporate the moisture out of the fields, and now we're warming up a little bit better, but we have a fairly higher frequent pattern of rainfall coming up for those areas for a while. So we will be fighting that issue with it being too wet for a while longer. The northern delta and the Tennessee River Basin will probably be wettest out of all of the southern states. And it looks like for at least the next week they'll have a tough go of it.
Before we exit the United States and head to other places across the planet, regionally here, farmers would like to at least put a little anhydrous on and maybe in a few days start to plant some corn.
Yeah, that's true, too, and I think we're going to have a little bit of an issue getting into some of those fields in the Ohio River Basin area. We've got a storm system coming up here tomorrow into Friday. They'll produce rain. There'll be some brief showers occurring again on Sunday into Monday, and the follow-up system again shortly after that during the middle to latter part of next week. So out of all of the precipitation events, it's going to be difficult to get into some of the fields. Now, you get a little bit north of I-70, you might see a little bit better opportunity for getting into the fields. Won't rain nearly as much and as often in some of those locations.
Check in on the winter wheat crop in Russia and Ukraine.
Conditions there are improving greatly as we go from one day to the next. It's just now starting to warm up enough to maybe start greening some of the crop in another week or so. But it is very wet and getting wetter in parts of Ukraine and western Russia. There's been a lot of press in recent weeks about how dry it's been and how everybody was worried about the crop. But it turns out that winter till has not been tremendously great, at least that we know of so far. And it looks as though it's going to be a wet problem for the next few weeks rather than a dry one with plenty of rain keeping farmers out of the fields.
Hey, thanks so much, Drew.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.